Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest today is Susan Long. Susan Long has developed a number of modalities to help people overcome extreme trauma. Many of the people that have gone through a lot of these MyLab and off-world programs have been subjected to a lot of trauma and abuse over time, and multiple times, actually, t multiple timelines, even. And what Susan does in part is help people reintegrate, heal, and reduce that trauma. And she herself is a veteran of these off-world programs, and she's got quite a story to tell. So, without any further ado, Susan Long, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks for having me. I was looking forward to this, James.
Well, likewise. I know we talked before the show, but sometimes it is kind of a drag, kind of a re-traumatizing thing when we go over the same experiences again, right? And we talk about a lot of the things that had put us through these traumatic events. But without getting into too much detail, if you so feel so inclined, because we don't want to re-traumatize the audience, obviously, or elements of the audience. Can you tell us a bit about your upbringing and your journey of discovery and how you found yourself in these programs, the people that were around you at the time, your family, your married life? And I think you mentioned you had a law enforcement background. Without going into specifics, if you can talk about that. So, without any further ado, Susan, the floor is yours.
I guess, like, looking back, I had my first contact with ETs, and they were re reptilians, when I was two, when my parents first moved to Delaware. I remember we had like a third story apartment. This big T-Rex head would come in. I'm not sure if that's a screen memory, because I've also heard Penny talk about how these T-Rex would come in her room, and she unzipped one, had a zipper, and it was CIA coming in. And then I remember it was once a year, these Mater would come and try to kidnap me. I'm the oldest, I'm the firstborn, and my younger brother and sister, and I would fight them, so they'd only take me, I wouldn't take them. And I also remember, I remember I used to be fascinated with that soap opera Dark Shadows when I was in elementary school and would come home, because I
Me
had
too,
also had memories.
Barnabas Collins, yeah.
Yeah, because I had memories of me being in a white dress in an inverted church, like a wedding dress, and I was on an altar, which was part of the programs where they took my firstborn. And I know who did it, and they're still living right now. Well, two of them are dead, because that was Thomas Stewart was he's in, was involved with a big food distribution out in, I think it's Washington State, and his son took it over, and they're Satanists or Luciferians, whatever you want to call them. So just be mindful whenever you're getting any processed food that you didn't raise, you should, raise the vibration. I always talk to my food, and I'll tell it, I raise the vibration of this food to the highest possible vibration, heal my body and my soul, and I call my soul shards back to me. And just that's just something new, remember to do, because you want to give yourself self-healing and tell your body to heal itself. And because a lot of this stuff, a lot of the things you get already have black magic on them, and you don't even realize it. Food, that's a big one. I didn't realize how important that was to whether you're Christian or you're Reiki master, whatever, do whatever it is to raise your vibration of your food. And I also, when I was nine, was when I realized that I was a psychic medium, and other members of my family weren't, but my great grandma, and I was taken to her when I was 16, and my mom left the house, and she's like, oh, good. She left, and my great grandmother was, I think, 83 at this time. And she said, you're fae like me. She said, remember when you thought you made your mom cry when you were nine, when her best friend died? She said, that's what I mean. You're like me. You have the gift. And I was kind of, how does this lady know about something that happened to me when I was nine? Because my mom's best friend came and visited me. And being Irish, I was always told we had 72 hours. to go and say goodbye to our loved ones in spirit. And depending on how strong your psychic antenna is what you're, whether they're actually going to come and hug you and talk to you, or whether you're going to be walking down the street and you'll out of your peripheral, you're like, oh my God, that looks like so and so. And that's all you'll get, depending on how strong your antenna is. And so I didn't tell mom anything anymore, but I also saw Patsy's son when they were visiting the Grand Canyon, and he slipped over one of the rails and he broke his neck, and he was DOA, well, DRT, dead right there. And so that's, I wouldn't do so much mediumship as when I was a police officer, as I didn't realize at the time. Also, when I was a kid, I was a remote viewer, because I also have a memory of my best friend at the time. That was Toni Taylor, and her older sister was 17. I don't know what happened to her parents, but her older sister ended up raising her. And she took her to a concert at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, and down in the bowels of that place, been demolished since they have the new stadium. It smelled like urine. It was really scary. There'd be broken fluorescent lights and the flickering ones, and it's kind of terrifying to, a 9 or 10 year old. And I remember that night, because back then I used to take my bath before, night before first school, and I'm in the bathtub and I blacked out, and I'm standing there in that area where the tunnels are, and you go to the bathrooms, and I can see her, and she's crying and she's lost, but I can't contact her until the next morning when we go to school. And I was like, Tony, I was so worried about you all night. I said, I could see you, and I'll just be standing there and witnessing this stuff as like it's surreal. But that also happened when my son was in Iraq, and I would see some stuff too. Because somehow, if they call you when they're calling for help, you see them, and you just remote view them, and you're like, oh, I know where they're at. And when I was a police officer, I was having a lot of precog dreams, and I ended up going to some drug dealer's house, and I was like, oh, I just dreamt about this yesterday. I know where all the guns and the drugs were. And then that got me my psychic abilities, which I didn't tell people it was psychic, and I'd have precog dreams too. Got me into detectives in 2.5 years. And then I went into the vice unit, and I remember standing there at search warrants, going, okay, if I was a bad guy, where would I put these drugs? And all of a sudden I know. And they would just say, how do you do that? You're better than the canine sometimes. I said, I don't know, I just know. And then we went to I went to the family services unit after I was in the vice squad. And in family services, it was a lot of crimes against children. So they sent me to a lot of sex crime schools for investigators. And I think a lot of that helps with my recall, because thank God I didn't have, mom talk and a lot of the crazy recall back then, because it might have destroyed me. Because at that time, when I was working family services, my husband had gotten in, and we were married for like a year at that point, in an accident and broke his neck. And then he was quadriplegic, and because he was so stubborn, he kept himself alive for the next 8 months. He must have coded at least 30 times. But it was kind of nice when I talked to David Purcell, because they sent him a picture of my late husband. He's like, oh yeah, that's the guy with the mustache that you two were so in love. He said they used to attack you all the time. He said they had him on a different level of the ship. And he said basically, I guess they would like gave him a humiliating job of like mopping floors or whatever, but they said that was one of the few ways they could keep me under control. And in the German programs, that malignant narcissist counterpart that I found here was really horrible to me, he said, and had an obsession with me. And when he got the list of the new psionic officers that they could get on that ship, I was, they had my 8x10. And David said that the malignant narcissist made a shrine, which kind of carried over to a black magic obsession of him being able to love bite me in the astral, and I woke up with a hickey that, and I wasn't even dating anyone, and I couldn't figure out where this hickey came from, and I was a bit old for hickeys and embarrassed. I had to cover it with makeup just to go work at the chiropractor's office doing body work. And then that started another side quest of the false twin, and which also brought me out here. And I just transitioned a lot of sex crimes investigations to the last 15 years. I've been in my healer mode, where now I'm a holy fire reiki, and I'm Sui Reiki master teacher. I'm a cranial sacral fascial therapist. I'm a licensed massage therapist. I do quantum trance hypnosis regressions. And a lot of what I like to focus on is trauma release, because I've found with the cranial sacral fascial therapy I do, it's Up Ledger's cranial sacral, John Barnes' myofascial release, and John Barnes' unwinding, that we can unwind some old trauma. But the crazy thing was, I realized that while I was doing this, that they would, apparently they regenerate enough so we look good on the outside, but underneath we still have the pain, and the trauma is still in us mentally. Because I was working on the SSP person here, and I remember he was having bad migraines and neck pain. And first I started to work on his head, and I'm like, wait a minute. I was feeling, because I'll feel their pain in my body till I get it to release. And when it releases, I get these goosebumps that come up my arms, and I'll say, if you feel like soda pop bubbles going down your arm or your leg, just push it out like a cigarette smoke, because that's that energy and the trauma releasing. But I thought it was in his molars, so I went and gloved up, and they'll start. Some people like unwind really violently like this, or real fast like this when I touch an arm. But I went to work on him, and he just went this way. All of a sudden I was there, and I just started glowing. And I can see these old men taking tools and ripping his teeth out so they could molest him without being bitten. And we both had to stop then, because that's one of the bad things. Like, we might have to stop because your brain will protect you, and you won't remember some of these traumas, but then they can release, and then you'll have to reintegrate that. So that's something you have to be wary of. So we had to stop then. But I remember doing another session, because I'd done like three or four on this person, and there are some other SSP people locally. I got down to his, he'd been having hip pain, and when I went to release his hip and we started unwinding, all of a sudden I'm seeing him with cord wrapped around his neck, around his thigh, and he's a breech baby. And this pain that he's had in his body was from when he was born breech, that his hips are still hurting from then. And this person's like 46 years old. So it's crazy how your body will hold on to that trauma. And I think a lot of us that were in the programs, they even brought us into the world in trauma like that, where they thought you were going to die. And also another thing that I noticed was when I was doing that, another session on this SSP person, I also saw that they took him out of his mother's womb and did, I don't know, some kind of tampering and then put him back in. But it seemed more like it was etheric or astrally. And I taught a local lady how to do it out here. And when she was working on me one time, shoot, I just slipped that one memory. I got another good one though. But she was working on me, and I started to roll off the table, because you'll just unwind like you remember those old slimline phones? We'd have to hold them upside down. Your body will go through the trauma and unwind like that. And I'd rolled onto the floor, and I'm thinking, oh, this is, we're unwinding the surgery trauma from my neck, from my fusion, because I started gagging. Because when people are really trusting, they will roll on the floor, and I'll just follow you. And I'm thinking, oh, this is me releasing that. And then all of a sudden, I'm not even there. I'm in this medical facility. I'm maybe five, and I'm face down. I can see my little toes, and I got a hospital gown on. Some guy in a white coat is raping me, and I think it was, the infamous Dr. Green. And they would do stuff like that because they get off on you retching while they're raping you because they're really grotesque. And I was like, look, we got to stop. I thought, because I was like, oh my God, I don't want to remember any of this crap. And then you have to reintegrate that. And also, when we're doing the quantum trance regressions, you could also remember, a child that died or your loved one that died. And I like to do those on a Friday or a Saturday, so you get a couple days to reintegrate before you go into work on Monday or whenever you go back to work. And because a lot of times it will bring up memories, but not always. And I've also seen another guy was working out on here. He's ex-Navy, and he was telling me a couple of years ago that he was following Michael Jaco. I didn't tell him what I knew because I already remembered a whole lot of stuff because I was in the German programs, the American programs, and then I was in some mercenary programs because they wanted my psionic abilities. And my friend Merlin, you should interview him. You love him. He thinks he's a big comic guy, and he's like, well, Susan, from what I know that you can do and what you've told me is I think you're who Jean Grey's based off of. And I was like, probably. I remember making a plasma aura and going super psion and stuff. And once, depending on how good I'm feeling that day, I can glow a whole lot. And that was another thing. And like, because people said, when did you wake up? And I'm like, when does it stop? Because I've been a remote viewer and psychic medium since I was a little kid. But then, and my angels are actually two blue ETs, and some of my clients have seen them. I had a client with cancer that did mobile massage, and I had quite a few ghost stories with him. And he was telling me, he's like, well, Susan, I need you to come over early today. There's something we got to talk about. So I've been working on him for a year. He'd come back to his, he was like 83 when he came back to Delaware. And he says to me, I have cancer. He's like, why didn't you tell me? I said, because you knew before you came home. And he goes, oh, that's how it works. I said, yeah. And he said, I didn't laugh because I knew this was serious, but now it's kind of funny, but that's how it works. And he says, well, I know you can together, because he was a cranial sacral therapy teacher. He said, I know together we can heal me. He's like, but I don't want to be healed. I want to go be with my late wife. And I'd seen her before during another massage session. She actually showed up, and I was like, oh my God, please don't let him die on my table. I don't even want this to happen. And she was like, and she because I was like, you're not taking him, are you? And I'm like telepathing the spirit because I don't want him to know what was going on. And she's like, no, I didn't want mean for you to see me. I was like, I'm glad that's over with. And but that time with the cancer, I go outside because I said, okay, I'm not going to interfere, but can I ask my angels, because I was raised Catholic and I would pray to my angels a lot because I figured, God and Jesus busy. These are the messengers that are supposed to help me anyways. And I'm out in the vestibule and I'm praying like a good Catholic girl. And I'm asking my angels, I was like, please, let him pass the most peaceful way possible with least pain possible. He wants to go and be with his late wife. Okay. So then I was waiting for him to get on table, and it seemed like it was taking a while because he kept getting, weaker each time I go to see him after that. And I go in, and he's face down on the table, and he lifts his hand, he's like, Jim. I was having trouble getting up on the table, and these two blue angels pushed me up on the table, and then he took off real quick because they didn't want me to see them. I love getting confirmations, and I was like, "What did they look like?" And he said, because they kind of look different for everybody. And he said, They look like two blue angels in Superman suits and blue Superman suits. And I'm like, okay, that, sounds right. And there's me, trying not to, get misty, trying not to drip tears on his face when you get those confirmations, because that was cool. But yeah, after with the police stuff, I even realized dealing with rape victims and mentally ill people that, like, other police officers would try to, they would just exacerbate the issue. And I just wanted people to calm down, because once we get everybody calm, I don't have to hurt anybody to get them in custody or to get them care and treatment. But remember one rape victim, we were sitting there and I was holding her hand and I was like, what's this heat coming out of my hand? I don't know what this is, but I could watch them, like, they start to calm down and get grounded. That was me being the nerd that I am. I'm back to, like, in elementary school, I read the whole metaphysical section of the library to figure out how I could telepath, and I didn't know what remote viewing was. I just thought that was part of my psychic mediumship thing, because that's how mine works. And I found out that I was a natural healer. I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll go into this. And I was thinking about going into physical therapy, but that was another 8 years to be a physical therapist. And I was like, oh, I can be a massage therapist and do all these cool modalities. And that's what I decided to do. When I was in massage school, I was already taking Reiki classes. And I remember working on, because I don't always know when I'm going to see something. I could just walk in a room and all of a sudden something's popping out at me. Like, I had this one ex-Amish girl come in, and for some reason, I usually start face down, and it wasn't even energy work. She wanted a massage for pain. And when I walked in the room, she had this big glassine bubble that was emanating from her root and her sacral chakra, and I could see this Amish man from, like, his torso to, like, up in his face. And I said, you've got this thing, I don't know if you're into spiritual stuff, but you've got this thing attached to your root and your sacral chakra, and I have to remove this because I'll be, like, negligent if I don't. And she said, oh, she said, I was molested, and that's one of the reasons I left the Amish. I said, I know. And I can see who it is, and he's still attached to you, and I need to take this energy off of you. And he was dug in there hard. I don't know what they do, because it's a lot easier to remove other rapist cords than that guy, because I had to, like, hack at it, and I was like, forget this, I'm just gonna burn it off, and got that off, and then pulling the residual ashes and stuff out of there. But I kind of got known locally as a retired cop from Del the psychic medium retired cop from Delaware. So people come out here want me to see things, and I mean, that's okay. Ghosts and ETs, I've had. Oh, have you seen those? Have you seen those black ETs with the inky skin and the freckles like stars, James?
I don't have any conscious recollection of them. Could you talk about them?
Hold on a second. I'm gonna go grab this painting. Where'd I put it? It is. This is, I found this artist. It's Marcia's Divinity. And during lockdown, I worked on this young lady who's Latin and indigenous, and she had this ET with her that was inky black like this, and their freckles were like stars, because my freckles are like 2D and he had 3D freckles. So light shone out of their skin. That was the coolest thing. When I went to buy this print from Marcia's Divinity, she's like, why do you want this? I said, oh my God, you drew those ETs or interdimensionals that was with my client, and I couldn't even describe them. But and she does a lot of really cool art. I need to start doing my own art of some of the things that I was seeing. So a lot of the work I do is healing, unwinding trauma, and I was kind of disappointed I didn't get to put my hands on more people at the conference, because if you could see what that feels like, then maybe you can find somebody who does something similar to what I do wherever you're at, because we need to unwind a lot of this trauma. And I can feel when they're sending me certain things, and I'll go to one of my trusted Reiki masters. I'm like, pull this stuff off me. Not because I can't, but when she does it, I can actually see who sent whatever it is to me. And one time I said, I keep getting these looping thoughts, even though I cut this thing off. And she's like, oh, you know you're more powerful than me. Why do you always get me to do this? I said, because when you do it, I can see it. But when I do it, I'll know there's something there on me, but I don't get to be a witness and see the whole process. But when you do, and I saw when she did that, I went to, this was really weird, this black mat, because I didn't believe in this stuff. And this has happened since I moved out to Iowa 5 years ago. She made a cell, she's actually a witch, and she put a selenite rectangle around her massage table. I went to lay on it, and as soon as I stepped inside of the rectangle, I could feel the snake coming up from my pubic bone up to my sternum, and I put my hands on myself, and I could feel it under my hands. I'm like, Kelly, come back! There's a snake in me. What the hell? She was going to get some herbs and some oils to take this black magic off of me, and also the old man that was from Mars was standing there, and he was like a hologram, and he was screaming at her, "Stop effing doing that!" Because they're trying to keep me at a lower vibration, because then I can't see as well. And when you're upset and hearing these stupid looping thoughts, it gets you depressed, and that pulls your energy down. And you want your energy to be like, ah, real high, like 528 hertz. Then you can see the ETs and the interdimensionals and get your downloads, because otherwise they're blocking your third eye, they're blocking your crown, and you're not going to get to see or speak your truth. And you need to bring that in. And that was wild that I could see the old man, and he was a hologram on the right side of the table, and he was going from Vietnam camis to the digital desert camis, which was weird. And I was like, Kelly, can you see him? She says, yeah, I can see him. So we had some pretty cool stuff happen when I worked with her. I worked with her in a long time. And so I'll go get my own sessions too, because we've all got lots of layers to work on. Then, like with the awakening thing, there was more weird, bizarre things happening in 2019. I remember I was living in Delaware then, and it was my birthday, and I was driving by Brandywine Creek State Park in Delaware, and I said to the universe, I said, for my birthday, I would like to see my family's starship. So I put my phone out the window, and I started clicking pictures, and that's where I got that Vimana that I sent to you. There's four of them in there, but one stands, there's a cluster of three, and then there's one by itself, and then another one. And I remember I sent that to John D'Souza, and he's like, oh, that's Anunnaki ships. But to me, it looks like a Vimana, and the blue people flew around in the Vimanas, right? Because, yeah, my
Well, that's
helper
how they
is
were
part.
depicted in a lot of the ancient Hindu artwork as being blue beings. That's interesting.
Yeah, but they don't look Hindu when they show up. They look more.
Yeah, more Caucasian than a blue, kind of like, you know.
But they have a blue aura, because I've also seen them. And then when I had another attack of like that, they'd send us black goo, black magic stuff. And that time it was somebody who I was supposed to be healing, but thought it was funny to send me one of her attachments.
That's mean.
And yeah, so I don't deal with her, because I remember being the ex-partner. Because yeah, I can't stand dealing with these, some of these warlocks and bad witches. And we got this sensation. We're just sitting there in a hotel room before we went to settlement on this house. And I was like, did you just get the weird urge to have sex right now? He's like, yeah, but it wasn't for me. It was from an outside source. And we're like, that's kind of weird. So we're just, because I was like, no, I wasn't feeling like that. And then all of a sudden, I felt this thing moving around in my uterus. And he could feel it too. And he's trying to blast it. I started calling, I'll call him, Archangel Michael, but he doesn't, it's not blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy showing up. It's always my blue people. And this time it was a lady, and my knees were hanging. I was laying back, like sideways across the bed, and my knees were at the edge of the bed. My feet were hanging off onto the floor, and she stood at my knees with this fishbowl helmet on, and she had like this vaporous blue. I've never seen one like that. She had yellow eyes, and she just stood there, and then she left. And my partner didn't see her, but when she left, that squid thing was gone because he was trying to blast it with his own energy. And he thought we were going to have to go to the hospital to have it removed. But yeah, I mentioned it to this person. She was like, hee-hee-hee. Yeah. So I
Laughed
never
about
did
it.
any. Oh,
Jeez.
yeah. She thought it was funny. She was entertained by it. I don't think that kind of stuff's cute because I'm trying to help people. I'm not trying to put anything on them. I don't do
Oh, that's
stuff like
right.
that. I'm.
Getting back to the Martian, the old Martian guy, was that someone on Mars or involved with that Mars project, and they did some kind of magical hoochie coo to you and try to insert like an interdimensional snake entity? Because I've heard of these interdimensional snake entities being in place in the people, taking them up as hosts, essentially. Is that what you feel was going on? It was meant to keep you in a lower vibe?
Yeah, I think so, because it was kept looping thoughts about how horrible my ex was or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it doesn't matter anymore. And, I think that's also how they get some of these kids to do the school shootings and stuff. They probably have the same V2K hitting them, and they're thinking, maybe if I just go and do what the V2K tells me, it'll stop. Because, could you already imagine having mental illness and then that'd be like, your head's going to implode. So it'd be a lot easier to trigger them into what they want them to do. But I know what it is. And I'm like, this isn't my thoughts. Because when I'll have energy work clients come to me, sometimes I'll start getting heart palpitations or my head will start aching. And then sometimes they have attachments that'll start talking to me before they get here. Because I had one lady come in and this attachment was like, look, bitch. Me and I said,
Was it
yes,
some
I will.
reptilian or demonic entity or something?
I didn't see it, but it was talking to me, like telepathing me. And then when she got here, I've got a lot of protections on the house. And when they stutter step to come in, it's because I've got traps set up that things will get ripped off of them that aren't allowed in my house. So I think he got ripped off at the doorway because he wasn't smack talking me once she got in here. And I'm like, oh wow, some of these people don't know that they can cord onto me, and or I'm feeling them. And I, you have to make sure you cut your cords because I don't want to be thinking about all their anxiety or feeling their pain afterwards. But
These energetic cord attachments, do you see perhaps that some of them may have come from a past life, past incarnation, or even alternate timelines? Because people like us, we're just pulled hither, thither, and yon. At times, it seems that we've got multiple timelines going on simultaneously. How do you see these energetic cords, and do they kind of come in with us into this earthly plane sometimes, even before we're born?
yeah, actually, I have seen some come in before we were born. Well, I know they track us. I think some are brought in when we're in utero because they take us out. Some are from past lives. I've worked on a lady's hip pain before, and I knew it was her grandmother's hip pain, and her grandma had passed away, and somehow that was carried on to her. I mean, even I have some memories of my great grandma living in Northern Ireland. I think I'm her reincarnated, but then I lived there other times too. Shoot, I'm like, what was the question?
Oh, just about the idea of some archontic entity or force putting these energetic cords on us, not only in prior experiences, but even in prior incarnations before we come back. And then also how the whole thing is complicated because sometimes we're pulled into these different timelines and alternate realities and, other dimensional stuff where we get worked over again, so to speak, energetically.
Well, I remember when I started to do the quantum trance, a whole lot of ET showed up in my house. There was a reptilian upstairs. I saw a gray. He tried to cloak himself, but he walked across the doorway here so I could see through him. They were really, just remember Athena did that one for me, and they were very interested in what I had to remember. The reptilian smelled really sulfur-like. But also, talking about cords and stuff, like enticing me, this like meditation thing for me. And I think it was the second time I got in there, I saw these and I thought I'd cut cords from this person. I could see all these like arcana attachments. There was like eight of them, and they were attached to these guys that kind of looked like the decaying corpses from Pirates of the Caribbean, and they had these smoky cords that I had to cut some in there. Ah, I'm like, what the hell is this crap? And then I realized some of it was from the ex, because I remember one time I was asleep. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and my guide or whatever woke me up, and they said, get your phone, which was on the floor, and I put the flashlight thing on it, and I was the big spoon, he was the little spoon, and went to look, and he had a section of his spine open like this, from like his sacrum up to his thoracic spine, and it was going like this, and it was stealing my louche from my sacral and my root chakra. And I had started glowing before that. So now looking back, because I didn't realize what I was dealing with, because I'm not a witch, that this was a spiritual warfare, and I came out on top. So that's what I'll say about that. But part of that was, and also I had Amir, Wizard of Wivenhoe, tell me, he's like, oh yeah, when he would go to sleep, his attachments would come in and feed on you. Like, great, because I never get sick ever, and I could never sleep. I got so sick while I was in. I got diverticulitis. I got shingles twice, and yeah, it was all chaos and drama. It was really awful. And I'm usually really healthy, and yeah, I don't even take any prescriptions. But a
What's
lot
interesting about,
EFT.
oh, please continue.
No, go ahead.
Well, as far as these psychic spiritual attacks, it's almost like it's a default setting in some of these more witchy, warlocky type people where they just feel compelled. There's something about your auric field, there's a light about you which pisses off these entities working through them, to the point that they've got to launch all these spiritual energetic attacks on you for no reason at all. It's like soul recognition. Oh, it's like there's an adversary. That's their mentality. And then they just start sending all this stuff to you.
Yeah, and then they sent a whole person that was infested to me, and yeah. But anyways, we're over that now, and I'm just trying to focus on all the healing stuff. But a lot of this stuff you're just gonna have to, when you remember, I'll just go to somebody and say, hey, I need a Reiki session, or I'll go do some of my own stuff to me. I've noticed just using that violet ray thing, if I rub it on my feet, you can see some attachments come off. Because I remember when Bill first sent that to me, he's like, go up in your bedroom, and like before you go to bed, he's like, turn it on. And I did, and it looks like this. Second. Like, oh, ooh, I just zapped myself. I don't know if you can see the purple. Yeah, well, now you can kind of see it. Well, anyways, I put it on my feet, like you said, and I saw these like see-through tumbleweed type things roll off my ankles, and I was like, okay. Also tried it with a pregnant lady, to see if it would balance her chakras before I gave her Reiki. And Reiki's not about balancing your chakras, but it did. I was like, "Ooh, that's pretty cool," because I've been using that for other things for my neck.
These energetic cords, and I've heard various descriptions of the energetic attachments. They can appear in the third eye as being like a dark kind of ropey kind of thing, or like some kind of energetic connection, or and I've even heard like a smoky kind of manifestation, like puffs of smoke, at least as it appears to the third eye. And I've even heard of things like what I call astral pods, where like these like miniature reptilians, etheric reptilians will just come wafting, floating out of people that are in a certain kind of meditative state. What are the kind of things you've seen as far as energetic connections and as far as entity attachments? Well, what does it appear to you like?
A lot of the ones from people in the programs are those attachments are like these black goo things, and I would suggest using a wand or something to pull them out, because I would go and reach with my hand etherically, and they would end up wrapping around my forearm and stinging me like a jellyfish. And I remember I mentioned that to another Reiki master who makes organite pieces, and she says, "Oh, I started using my wand. Because if I put my hands in, it sucks you into all the emotions and the pain." And she said, to be less draining on yourself, use a wand. So go in, snap it back real quick and pull it out so it's stuck on the wand. And, start send it back to source to be transmuted. But those black goo things, they're a pain in the butt. And, but I like seeing people's guides, because one of my favorite client friends out here, when she first came in, she had this huge lichen with her, and like his haunches, he was standing on his hind legs, and his haunches were, I guess my ceilings are like 9 feet, so he was kind of bent over like this with the top of his head on the ceiling. And they'll show up and they'll watch their person, but they never look at me. But when you get deceased loved ones, like one lady that's a nurse, her mom will come in and start boss, and she's like, "She's hurting right here. You need to go right there." And I'm like, "Calm down, mom. I know where she hurts." And but the ETs will telepath you, and they're really cool. Like those ones, the inky black ones with the freckles of stars. He was smiling when I was describing him, and he had these like kind of like press curls, sort of. They were like this big, like kind of these little hot rollers, and took it out and the roll just stayed. That's what it looked like when I was describing him. And they're always looking down like this. Like, I don't know, I was always taught to look people in the eye, so it's just a little odd to me that they won't look at me straight on. Because even the Lyran female I saw at East SETI, she didn't look at me. She was just kind of standing at parade rest in the room, and she had a military uniform on, and she was looking at the ground. And I was really excited to see her. Actually, that's when I saw my Lyran aspect, was that East SETI, because my guide said, "Take a picture now." And you could see my upper lip turn into a cat lip, and then my eyes kind of go like this. And also in that period from 2019 till now, I guess that was 2020, I saw my red dragon, and I remember that counterpart was here, and he's like, "You're a red dragon." I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "You're a dragon right now." So I picked up my phone, and I was like, because I saw this fairy tale red dragon with scales, that was my face. And I dropped the phone, and then I was like, "Shit, I should take a picture of this. My own cop and detective team, I gotta get evidence." So all I got was my, you could still see the Draco bumps on my forehead, and my eyes looked different. And my cheekbones look different, and I caught some of the scales going back to human flesh, because it'll come out a little bit, the Lyran, the dragon, and then I think when I'm glowing, that's from the two of the Donnan DNA, because that was something they were really interested in too.
And those are all key genetic bloodlines. What seems to be the purpose, other than to drag us down at some level, as far as the emplacing of the black goo? on people that have been on these off-world projects and who seems or what seems to be the ones putting them in people?
Good question. I don't remember them putting black goo into me in the German programs, but the German programs seem to be kind of famous for doing that, making their people into monsters, basically. And wasn't that what the Falklands War was over? Was black goo down the Falkland Islands? Because they want it, but it's a really dangerous thing, and why would you want something that negative in you?
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody in the recent past. In fact, a recent guest, and they said in full waking consciousness, they'd suddenly seen all this black goo starting to fill up the room that they were in. They were not in a dream. They were not in an altered state. I'm trying to remember the story, but he'd been opened up, so to speak, in the recent past by contact with some of these more negatively energized entities, including these supernatural dogmen that were kind of keeping tabs on them for whatever reason. And then somewhere along the line, I guess they decided to launch a psychic attack on him, and suddenly here comes all this black goo, filling up the room that he's in. Terrifying story, really.
Yeah, that's like one of those nightmares, like those B movies, like The Blob. That's what it sounds like to me.
I remember
But
that
that's
Steve McQueen
funny.
and Natalie Wood that terrified me
Oh
as a
my God,
boy.
yes, that movie was terrifying when I was a little kid. I wonder if that was kind of based on some black goo. It could have been.
Now that you mention it, yes, and it was just a strange movie. I have to watch it again. In the time we got in this first segment, and I'd like you to talk more about it in the second segment. Tell us what your memories of this German program are, and how you seem to be inducted into it. Because it seems to me that sometimes someone could be in one particular program or programs, and then one or another group finds out, oh, this one has got all these abilities, and we've been monitoring their social media activity and seeing who they're interacting with. Let's induct this person into our program, and then have our way with them. How did that process play out with you? And some of this stuff seems to be preordained, almost like we go into this earthly incarnation at an oversoul level. It was like, okay, Susan, prepare yourself because this is kind of some of the crap you're gonna have to endure in this, that, or the other projects. But tell me what your thoughts on that are.
Well, I have a lot of weird memories. Like, I remember being in a 1940s classroom in the Midwest, and I don't know, maybe I was in first or second grade, and there was the teacher was standing up by the board, but she was kind of in the corner of the room, and I blew the corner of the room out, and the boy sitting next to me made a like Twister come towards the windows of the classroom, and we were both laughing. We thought it was funny, and she had a dress on and she peed herself. So I just remember that was the last time I was in the 1940s, and then I was in Shula, and I was wearing I remember sitting in another classroom, and I had a brown uniform that they had us wear. It kind of reminded me a lot of my Brownies uniform. And I had like a suicide strap on it, and I guess they were teaching us German there. And see, I worked with so many different people, because once they find out what you can do, they're going to want you, and they might kidnap you from another program too. And I remember being on Mars. I remember being a soldier there doing stuff, but I also remember being a diplomat in one other place, a couple other places where I was colonist at too. And then they would have me go retrieve artifacts. I'd have a partner with me, and I had this dragon ship, and they would send it around. And somebody told me my dragon ship was a ship we stole from somebody else, and we were in the German programs, but I'm not sure. But I remember having that in the American programs. The American programs are a little bit better than the German programs, but not so much. And then there was some mercenary stuff, because I remember having a cyborg eye and left arm. And I remember having they put this weird spider thing, so I had extra arms. Like, is that Bloodshot or Bloodspot? That Vin Diesel and Sam Hagen from Outlanders on there. But you'll see Sam Hagen actually steps back into this thing and it puts that bionic thing on him, but it just snaps onto him. But they'd actually screwed mine into my dimples because I remember screaming at them and they're, oh, you won't remember this. Because they did a lot of stuff without anesthesia. It was really horrible. I remember that. And then there's, yeah, some of the stuff I don't, because I remember killing a lot of people too. And once I got a helmet, they would have to come and collect me with a special helmet so I couldn't get inside of their head, because I could boil brains, make them fight each other. I could go super Saiyan and just, which I had to do once because we were getting overrun by these ETs and they were really weird looking. And somehow they were consuming the members of the squad. And I knew I had to get body parts back, but if I burnt, which is what I did, I'm like, we're going to get killed anyway. And then I remember picking up boots and taking them back for regen, because at least I had something left to work with to bring a team back. A lot of really weird stuff, rescuing people. I remember we had, I think this was German programs too, being on a freighter with another lady. She's not public, but she was teaching me how to pilot this freighter, and we had a lot of big earth moving equipment, stuff you'd buy from like Vernier or John Deere, like huge things. And we had these pirates got in through an airlock, and pirates usually always want to SA people on the ship, but because I'm a telepath, I knew what they had planned, and I'm like, you first, mofos. And there was five of them, and I'm telepathing my partner to come help me because there's people in this, pirates on this side of the ship, and I killed one of them, two of them. And I climbed up. I had my mag boots on, and somehow I was up on the wall with my feet on the wall and kind of like my back kind of on the ceiling. And I had this weird spinner kind of thing that was real sharp. And I remember he was trying to grab at me, and it went like this, and it was cutting his fingers off. But he didn't. It was like he kept coming at me like he couldn't feel pain. And now I just remember that memory being really weird. So I killed three of them, and then the partner came up, and the other two were standing there like, how are we going to get her off the ceiling? And I guess he got the other two that were there. Was a lot of fighting like that, a lot of pirate activity and weird stuff.
And I suppose these pirates came to take the ship as a prize or take it over or otherwise, because a lot of it seems to me to be like technology acquisition or ancient artifact acquisition from this, that, or the other world. A lot of it seems to be going out finding things and fighting people or other even societies and civilizations over it. How would you describe these pirates? Do they look pretty much human?
They look kind of mongoloid. They were about 5'4". They were shorter than me because I go about 5'9". And they had these black uniforms on that had a spider on the front. It was like a two-tone kind of black. And somebody tried to tell me that was an American program. I'm like, these were not humans. They were like mongoloid kind of looking people. I don't know. They're really unattractive. And I do remember, they were gonna rape people and kill us and then take the ship. And I decided that I was gonna kill them first, and then I was cutting body parts off and shoving them in their mouth. And then we dropped them off. I think I dropped them off on their or something, because I can't stand, I think that's another reason I was a sex crimes investigator, but didn't remember yet why I hate rapists and pedophiles so much.
Yes, definitely. Now, when you say mongoloid, do you mean mongoloid from an Asiatic perspective, like the Mongols from Mongolia or Mongoloid from developmental aspect, and
More like developmental, because real Mongoloid people, the Mongols were more attractive than them, but they were sturdy and thick, kind of like I would think the Mongols were, and but they were shorter. They were like 5'4".
that's interesting. And so they're out there just freebooting, trying to take over ships and rape and pillage, like we see these types of pirates here on Earth. Well, that's fascinating. Well, we've reached the end of the first segment, a fascinating segment. Susan, could you tell people how they can get a hold of you?
I'm on Facebook as Susan Long and Divine Connections, and I'm on IG and also on TikTok and on Divine Connections with Susan.com. That's my website where I have things that I can do energy work via Zoom, and then I make herbal products too, and there's some crystal stuff in the shop.
That's great. And for our dear listeners and viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.